In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our epistle reading today is translated very somberly in the NRSV. It just says, "Be careful." But in Greek, it's simpler than that. It just says, "Look," or "Look carefully." It's the kind of thing that my family members tell me when I can't see something in the cabinet. They say, "Look again." What they're saying is, "This isn't hard. You can do it. You just need to pay attention." Indeed, this is what Paul is telling the Christians in Ephesus, as well as us today. Following Jesus is not complicated. It just means paying attention and making choices. Paul is pointing to a clear choice that every Christian must make for themselves. Now, one choice he describes as foolish, a choice that is consistent with evil days and a habit of drunkenness. We see the effects of choices like this in individual lives of selfishness and abuse and addiction. Evil days become even more obvious in a community setting where we can see the ill effects of cheating and scheming and breaking promises and racism and stealing and looking out solely for one's own narrow interests. Evil days are writ large upon the world as we struggle with the pandemic, with climate change, with dysfunctional governments, with evil practices like genocide, warfare, and oppression that are displacing record numbers of refugees, or locking them up inside concentration camps. Paul describes a different choice, one that he labels as wise. Wise living, says Paul, is characterized by singing of hymns, psalms, spiritual songs. It is found in the practice of giving thanks to God at all times and for all things. Now, this doesn't mean calling bad things good and thanking God for the evil days that break our hearts, but it does mean cultivating eyes to see and ears to hear, habits of encountering God's quiet voice, God's powerful presence, God's merciful, redemptive activity, even in the midst of these noisy, evil days. Paul is echoing a consistent theme from Scripture, the choosing of wisdom over foolishness, that is personified in a special way by Solomon from our first reading today. Solomon is offered a boon from God. What would you ask for if a genie gave you three wishes? The three things almost anybody would ask for 3,000 years ago and just as much today would be long life, wealth, and victory over all one's enemies. I wouldn't think of the person who asks for these things as foolish right off the bat. Kind of normal, in fact. But I have seen these things pursued in foolish ways. And I suspect you have too. I have been in a hospital room with a patient dying from H1N1. Remember that? Their spouse was there, and the doctors had kept the patient alive, although unconscious, so that the spouse could say goodbye. The patient's body was dramatically failing. It was clear they would be dead in moments. But the spouse would not give the doctor the okay to let nature take its course, would not consent to the inevitable, And thus, according to the protocols of this hospital, that patient continued to be hit with drugs and eventually CPR every 10 minutes for more than an hour. That is not what I want with the last hours of my life. Our Christian hope is for something more than just a few more breaths in a worn-out body. Faith is what allows us to accept the finitude of our bodies, the finitude of our time, and to trust in God's eternal promises. Who hasn't seen someone do something foolish for the promise of money? Or do something that negates their own integrity, their own humanity, for the sake of gaining a small victory over someone else? But Solomon chooses a better way. Solomon displays extraordinary wisdom by asking for God's wisdom, for understanding and discernment that might help him to govern God's people well. Solomon is asking for the capacity to abide in God's presence, to walk in God's ways, and to experience the goodness of life with God. Solomon had obviously learned something from his experience of God so far. This is the same message that we get from Jesus in our gospel reading today. This is the fourth week in a row that our lectionary has called for us to read from Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, as it's sometimes called. And we still have another week to come. But as we have progressed in this discourse in John chapter 6, Jesus' imagery has become increasingly visceral and Eucharistic. Jesus says that those who eat my flesh and drink my blood are promised resurrection and eternal life. Do you hear how by seeking Jesus rather than long life, eternity is gained? As we eat Jesus' flesh and drink Jesus' blood in the Eucharist, says Jesus, we will abide in Jesus and Jesus in us. And so we will take part in the eternal, resurrected life which Jesus manifested. It's not that the little bits of bread and wine that we share in the Eucharist are magic pills, but instead it is our repeated practice of the Eucharist that slowly, over time, changes us, shapes us, transforms us. It is like Paul's invitation to sing psalms and give thanks to God for everything and in everything. These spiritual practices of song and prayer and thanksgiving are ways that God reaches into our lives and abides with us. The daily office was invented as Christians sought to figure out how to abide with God throughout the day. When we make choices to worship, to serve, to practice kindness, to choose the way of love, which is the way of wisdom, we engage ever more deeply with God's world and help to incarnate God's presence just as Jesus did. Generally speaking, it's not hard to be a Christian. There are places around the world where Christians are persecuted, but they sure aren't here in the United States. Instead, we abide in Jesus by paying attention day by day to all the little choices and the minor decisions. Because choices become habits, and abiding habits define our way of life. Abiding with Jesus is a wise choice that we get to make. And this is the best part of it. The fact that you even know that you had that choice. The fact that you are here today. This is evidence that Jesus has already chosen you. What you are hearing, not just in the homily, but in the reading of the scriptures and the prayers, what you are hearing is Jesus' personal invitation in this moment and in some small thing. Faith is not about moving mountains, at least not in the beginning. It is instead about noticing the ways that God is already active, already inviting, already loving in your life. Faith is choosing to say yes in response to God's invitation today. So if you don't see God, if you don't notice what God is up to in your life today, all I can do is repeat what my family tells to me, which is what Paul tells the church. Look. Look again. Amen.